At this time, we'd like to invite the fifth grade and down to go to junior worship. And just one announcement is there is a youth and parent meeting, just a brief one, shortly after service today. So I just want to make sure that was out there. So, excuses. We all have them and use them. And these are the top five excuses for speeding, according to insurance.com. Number five, I'm having an emergency situation in my car. Number four, everyone else was doing it. Number three, I didn't know I broke the speed limit. Number two, I'm lost and unfamiliar with the roads. Number one, I couldn't see the sign telling me not to do it. From police1.com, I wasn't speeding, I just got a haircut and it makes me look fast. A police officer wrote, I stopped a guy for doing 71 in a 50 because he wanted to make it to McDonald's before the breakfast menu ended. And then my personal favorite, a cop writes that he pulled over a lady who was speeding down snowy, ice-covered roads. She said, duh, I knew I was going fast. I was trying to get the snow off the windshield so I could see where I'm going. So why do we use excuses? Is it to explain our actions, whether good or bad? Usually it is to try to persuade someone to our way of thinking, because if they understood why we did what we were doing, we wouldn't have to explain it, right? There are times, though, that excuses are used to try to explain our behavior, but they're not very good reasons, such as the reasons I gave for speeding. Those people were still caught doing something wrong, but they were trying to get the cop to excuse their behavior and get off the hook. Well, Jesus tells a parable about some people who gave some not-so-good excuses when they were invited to a banquet, and the result of the choices that they made. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 14 and the parable of the great feast. But before we actually get into the parable, I think it's important to look at what was happening prior to that. Jesus was invited and was attending a dinner at the house of a prominent Pharisee. I think it's important to realize that he was at a dinner, and then he tells a parable about a dinner, which I think is, you know, goes to show he's trying to help them understand what he was talking about. Also, the people at the banquet or the dinner were also prominent individuals, such as Dan pointed out. They were all trying to pick places of higher honor when they were choosing their seats. And Jesus pointed out that you want to take the lesser place so that if you warrant it, then the host would exalt you to a higher place. But they were all picking the highest places to honor themselves. In verse 11, Jesus points out, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, he's not referring to self-degradation. He's referring to a mindset that we as Christians should have of thinking of others first. C.S. Lewis stated, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Jesus wasn't saying to strategize, to manipulate the situation on taking the lower place so that then you can be puffed up when you get to move to a higher place. Fred Dickinson writes, "That's the paradox of humility. When you start to try to show everyone your humility, you lose it. When we are thinking of others, we spend less time thinking of ourselves. Jesus was preparing the guests who were paying attention to hear the parable. Then Jesus went further," and this is where Dan was explaining humbleness by telling the host in verses 12 to 14, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. Well, at least one person was listening other than the host, because he tells Jesus in verse 15, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." But the man wasn't humbly stating this. He was actually, as a prominent individual, most likely one of the Pharisees or whatever, he was under the impression that the elite were who got into the kingdom of God. So he was actually kind of puffing himself up, saying, "Hey, blessed are I and everybody else that I think's going," right? Well, Jesus saw right through that, so he responds to him in telling this story. "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field, and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Now, the feast in the kingdom of God is not a new issue for Jesus. He's been teaching about this before. In Matthew 8:11, he says, "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And earlier in Luke 13:29, "People will come from the east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God." Well, in their culture, the invitations were twofold. They had two different invitations. The first invitation was sent out to say when the banquet or feast or dinner party was going to be. The second invitation was to tell the guests that the feast was prepared and that they could come now to the house. Well, Jesus starts the story with the second invitation. So when the servant goes to tell the invited guests that the banquet's ready, they already knew that it was coming. The key point here is that they already were invited and then made excuses. An excuse is a seemingly polite way of rejection. These guests didn't want to come to the banquet. They were thinking of things they wanted to do or get done and not thinking about the host who had gone to all the trouble of preparing the banquet for those that he had invited. Even though they were invited and knew the day of the banquet, they came up with excuses on why they couldn't come. We're given 3 excuses, but there were obviously many more excuses because no one that was invited came to the banquet, and as later on in the story, we find out that there's plenty of room, because I'm pretty sure that there was more than just three people that were lame, crippled, or blind that the servant brought in. So the other thing was that they didn't just give an excuse. They gave pretty lame excuses. The first one talks about that he bought a piece of land and he needs to go look at it. Well, who buys land without seeing it first? But if they do, does he have to go right then and see it? It's still going to be there, right? The second one says, well, he just bought some 5 yoke of oxen. So, okay, who buys 10 oxen without knowing if they're going to be able to do the job that he bought them to do? And then the last one, he just got married. Okay, well, why does that keep you from coming to a banquet? Right? So an excuse is defined as an explanation or to overlook. But we use them to get out of situations in which we do not accept the other person's reasons as valid. Sometimes we can be right in our actions and sometimes wrong, but we explain to make them understand our reasoning. I didn't take the trash out yet because I was waiting for it to get more filled up, said while the trash is overflowing onto the floor. I'm busy right now, we can play later, said to the kids when just busy, right? They wanted to play. I didn't do a backup of the computer system because that would have affected the scheduled flight, said on why couldn't do the scheduled backup on time, right? Excuse me, as you pass through two people having a conversation in the middle of the aisle in Walmart. These are all reasons I have given to explain my actions. The first two, I was in the wrong. The third one, my boss understood. I caused a delay in the flight schedule, but it was better than causing a flight to be delayed. And then the last one is, well, it was inconvenient for me to go around them, right? Through this story, we also learn, but all were given in rejection of the other person's ideas or reasoning. Through the story, we also learn that excuses come with consequences. These can be good and bad. In the story, the invited were left out of the party. The man giving the banquet sends out his servant to get the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. These are the same people that Jesus just told the host to invite prior to the story. These are the people that cannot repay him in return. But once this is done, the house still has room, so the master sends out the servant to the country roads and lanes and makes them come. He wants to fill his house so that no one that rejected his invitation would get in. To go back to my excuses, the trash was on the floor because I didn't take it out when it should have been. I lost spending time with my kids because I decided that what I was doing, I prioritized it above them. My boss understood why the backup was delayed, and then the other people excused my transgression, interrupting them. But all of them had some sort of consequence. This story, if you haven't guessed, is about who will be in the kingdom of God. God is the host and sent out the invitations. Jesus was pointing out that in truth, they were rejecting the invitation. So the undesirable in the Jewish mindset were brought in. And when that was not enough, the servant was to go out even further and compel others to come in because the host did not want any room left for anybody to change their mind. So those that rejected the invitation had no room to change their mind. We have all been invited to a relationship with Jesus Christ. to understand that God created a way that we could be with him through the sacrifice and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. And the only way to do this is to believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The invitation is open to everyone, but that doesn't mean everyone's going to accept. There will be those that reject it outright. No excuses are given, just an outright no. These are the people that we know that are outright against religion in general. No matter what, they're going to go through life rejecting God and anything that looks like him. These are the people that when it gets to the end of their life, they'll meet God and then they'll realize that it's too late to accept the invitation. There are those who want to wait. They will give an excuse as to why now is not the time. Maybe they want to sow their wild oats, and God's going to get in the way of that. Maybe they're waiting to know everything about Jesus before accepting his invitation. Maybe they're scared of what they'll have to change or give up to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe they're under the impression that they need to be perfect or worthy before they accept the invitation. These are those that were invited and give excuses why they cannot come. Then there are those that will accept and be welcomed. They are welcomed with open arms and become part of the church, the body of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Christ calls us to be disciples and to make disciples. Paul put it in the picture of a body. In Romans 12, he explains that each part of the body has a different function. And as the body functions as a whole, with many parts, so does the church body. Each member has their place in the body. And as a part of the whole, belongs to all the others. When each of us are given gifts, we are given then the body given, and we use them, then the body can work together. But if the hand doesn't want to grasp, or the foot doesn't want to walk, it does make it hard for the body to work. This brings us back to excuses. We have excuses why we wait. We wait to accept the invitation Christ has given us. We wait to get involved. We wait to use the gifts that God has given us. Why do we wait? Is there something that's holding us back? Is there something that's holding you back? David Ring is an evangelist. He was born dead. For 8 minutes, he didn't take a breath. This time without oxygen made it where he had cerebral palsy. His mom was told that he was never going to walk, he was never going to talk, that it would be best to put him in an institution. She didn't. His dad died when he was very young. His mom passed away from cancer when he was 14. And he didn't know the Lord at that time. He was very sad and angry and lonely. For 2 years, he went through life this way. He'd been called every name in the book growing up, in school and everything. None of them were good. But then 2 years after his mom passed away, he went to church. He didn't want to go to church, but he ended up that he went to church service. Well, he found a God that loved him. So he changed his life that day. He accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, and he changed. At school, they actually held an assembly. He says that they held an assembly to find out what changed in him, and he was able to tell his testimony about that Christ had changed his life. Well, then, later on, he feels God calling him to preach. And he doesn't talk well. He has a speech impediment. He talks slow. And you have to really listen to him to understand what he's saying. So he was told that you'll never be able to preach. Nobody's ever going to hire you as a preacher or ask you to come in to give a sermon as a guest speaker. Well, he's only been doing that for 40 years and spoken in over 2,000 churches now. God had a plan for David, and he does for all of us. We only have to be willing to let him work through us. We have to give up our grasp on our life and give it over to Christ. That is in whatever we are doing, our job, our school, our organization, our vacations. We have to be willing to look for those times that someone needs a helping hand or a prayer. We need to love one another like family, regardless of our differences. We have to have compassion for those that we meet that do not know Jesus and care about them enough to talk to him about him, about the joy that comes from giving our lives over to him. This is where the humility comes in. We need to be true to ourselves without puffing up or tearing down who we are. Once we do that, then we can be real to those around us. People want to see a church that is real, one that shares their hurts and struggles with each other without condemnation. I talked to a man sitting in a pew a few years ago. He was sitting all by himself, so I went over to see how he was doing. He told me about that he was going through a lot of financial struggles and just life struggles in general. And during the course of the conversation, he looked around and he said, "None of these people have those struggles." I assured him he was wrong, that I myself had those struggles. But it showed me that the world's not looking for a church to be perfect, because then it seems hard to get in. Besides, God knows we're not. Those that are seeking are looking for a church to be real. We need to be humble and inviting so that we do not find ourselves as the excuse of someone who is seeking Jesus on why they cannot. David Ring has a line that he uses when talking about accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior and using your gifts for Christ. He says, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" Don't let an excuse hold you back from what God has planned for you. As our worship team comes to play the song of invitation, I just want to say, if you find yourself waiting to accept the invitation of Jesus, no, you don't have to be perfect. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because no one is, and none of us would have if we had to wait that long, now is the time to make that decision. If you wait, it may be too late. You only have this life to accept it, and none of us knows how long that will be. Don't find yourself one of those that gave an excuse and then it was too late because the house was full. If you are thinking that you have been waiting too long to get involved, now is the time to make yourself available. There are plenty of opportunities inside and outside the church to serve the Lord. It could be in a ministry in the church. It could be as a prayer warrior or many other things that God has made available to you. Make yourself available today so that God can use you. If you made that decision to follow Jesus, or if you want to just come and pray down here at this stage, or want to make yourself available, I'll be up here. We'll have elders over here, and we have a place that you can pray up here. So just come as you are.
You are my God, you are enough. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. Lay down my life, take up my cross, Jesus. You are my God.
You came out. Thank you, Kelly, for those words of encouragement this morning. Don't forget, tonight, 6 o'clock, the Truth Project. Dan is facilitating that. And then Wednesday night, 6 o'clock is meal. And then our Chaos Kids. By the way, if you're looking for a way to get